to the Build Your Future podcast. Hi, my name is Gabe Isaac, and I am JEDI's Indigenous Projects and Apprenticeship Coordinator. Today, we got ourselves a guest speaker.
Jessica Johnson.
Welcome, Jess. What do you do? Tell us about yourself.
I work with an organization called MAP Strategic Workforce Services, and I coordinate a program called First in Trades.
Awesome. Thank you, Jess. So before we begin, I would like to acknowledge that the JEDI office is located in the traditional unceded territory of the Wolastoqiyik Maliseet people. This territory and all of New Brunswick are covered by the Treaties of Peace and Friendship, which Wolastoqiyik, Mi'kmaq, and Passamaquoddy's people first signed with the British Crown in 1725. The treaties did not deal with the surrender of lands and resources, but in fact recognized Wolastoqiyik, Mi'kmaq, and Passamaquoddy title and established the rules for what was to be an ongoing relationship between nations. Thank you. All right, so let's get started. Jess, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Like, what is MAP Strategic Workforce Services? What do you got going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. MAP Strategic Workforce Services, it's a non-for-profit organization here in New Brunswick. Mm-hmm. And under that umbrella, we have four different programs. One that focuses on apprentices, one that focuses on females and women in trades, mm-hmm. one that focuses on trade exploration programs, and then the program that I coordinate, it's called First in Trades. So mm-hmm. my focus is Indigenous tradespeople in the province.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a little bit like what we do.
Yes.
We're like neighbors.
That's right. I know.
Yeah. Jess and I actually work together quite a bit, so it is such a pleasure to have Jess here today.
It's fun.
Good, good. So, why don't you tell us, specifically about your services with the First in Trades program? Like, what are you offering, and, how are you assisting Indigenous people to get in these programs? Maybe even talk about, what kind of, partnerships and relations we got going on.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So the way that I like to explain it is First in Trades, it supports all things Indigenous tradespeople in New Brunswick. So we're kind of like a resource hub. And now our services are tailored pretty much to each participant because we have people in the program that are just starting in trades, just kind of getting interested and not really sure even which trade they want to take.
Yeah.
So we have our network, composes of people, just getting into trades all the way up to people who have earned their Red Seal.
Oh.
And so they're now a journey person or whatever on the job site. So whether you're just looking to get into trades or fully seasoned or whatever, there's a spot for you with the First in Trades network. And so some of the supports that we offer are like we have an annual boot and tool allowance mm-hmm. that we help to, just because work boots are so expensive.
Oh my God, they're so expensive. I've seen the price on some of them.
Tools and boots, that adds up pretty fast, especially when you're an apprentice, mm-hmm. And you're not quite making the big bucks yet. Every penny matters. So yeah, there's a little bit of allowance there for people just getting into trades. We have employment leads, just helping them get registered as an apprentice and sign on with an employer and things like that. For the active members in the program, we have a lot of we get invited to a lot of career days and career trades and stuff like that, so we have opportunities for network members to go to these events and talk about their trade and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool. And then, there's other things. We have networking events. We meet up for regional suppers mm-hmm. for an annual event once a year. We get together. So, it's kind of cool. It's whatever you need, come to us. If we can't help you, we'll redirect you mm-hmm. to where you can get assistance, and we can just help you get started on your way. So, and oftentimes I redirect people to you guys, as you know, JEDI.
Oh, yeah,
like,
me
we
too.
All work together. We're the trifecta, right?
Yeah.
With apprenticeship and Wade and stuff. So it's good. I think between the three of us, there's so much support for tradespeople in New Brunswick. There's no reason, not to mm-hmm. get into it if you want to.
If you want to.
Yeah.
I like with my programs, and you're probably seeing the same thing with your programs, it's just giving people the opportunity to try it.
Because mm-hmm.
some people aren't sure what they want to do.
Exactly.
And just letting them at low risk, hey, let's find out if you like trades or not. And if you don't, that's okay. But maybe you'll love it and this could be a career for you. So awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So my other question too, So we did already talk a little bit about the sports. Could you tell us a little bit about your journey into trades and how you became interested in this field? Like, what motivated you to do this?
Mm-hmm. So I took a couple shop classes in high school, and I always enjoyed that. So working hands on, I'm definitely not a Monday to Friday, I'm not a type A, accountant. I could never, you know what I mean? That's not my jam. So I was, I always knew I wanted to do something hands on, stuff like that. Cause I don't want, the reality is it's not something that I was like, oh, I know for sure this is my career path.
Yeah.
Just like you were talking about, we give people the chance to explore.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it was for me.
Yeah.
And it was just an opportunity that presented itself at that time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Basically how I got into it was I took a program, a STEP program, one of the programs that we offer. Yeah. So
I love that.
I was a STEP participant.
Yeah.
Skilled Trades Exploration Program, right?
Yeah.
I was a STEP participant in an all-women's cohort for carpentry in Moncton. And that was in 2021. And how I ended up there was in 2021, we were right in the middle of COVID, right? Or that's when COVID.
It was still COVID.
Yeah. And I was attending St. Thomas at the time. I was in my starting my third year or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when everything shifted to online and everything with the COVID thing and stuff, I was like, I tried it. I did it for a semester and I started my second semester, but I was just like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And so when I saw an opportunity, I think I just saw it on Facebook or something, the STEP program. I was like, oh, there's actually a program that's being hosted in person. I didn't even care what it was. I was like, I'm just going to do this because it's in person. Because at that time, everything was online. We were all quarantined. We were all da 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 da, whatever. So I was like, oh, something I get to leave the house every day.
Yeah.
So I signed up for the program. And honestly, I saw it. I was a very last minute student. I got to give a shout out to Katie McDonald, who coordinates the program, STEP program, because she got me in within a week or a week and a half, did the whole process, the screening, the interview, da 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 da, and I got in and started the program. So that was cool. So that's how I ended up as a carpenter apprentice. So I did that program. It was 4 months. And that was the other thing. Mm-hmm. STEP is so great. I know I'm giving a little shout out to STEP.
No,
okay?
That's what you're here for.
Okay.
That's what I asked you to be here for.
Okay.
Tell us all about STEP. Tell us how great they are.
Great.
I'm here to listen.
Okay.
They're here to listen.
Perfect. No, that's excellent. So STEP is so great for that because it's very, like you said before, it's low risk. It literally costs you nothing to take this training.
Yep.
So the training doesn't cost anything.
Mm-hmm.
Boots and hand tools are provided. The curriculum is great. I did an all women's cohort. And actually, so every situation's unique, but if you're working beforehand, there's a TSD component, training skills and development with NB, working
that's
NB or whatever.
Kind of a student loan or student allowance or something.
Allowance, like yeah. So essentially you go on there's funding. So you're I was on, I think it's basically going on EI while you're taking the training.
Yeah.
So there was funding support available. It didn't cost me anything. They paid for your gas. They paid everything, right? So for me, I was just sweet, it's in person. Because I was so tired of the lockdown. I was it's in person. It's not costing me anything.
Yeah.
And I get to go do learn a new skill set with all these women. How cool is that?
Yeah.
And that's how I ended up in that. And it's short term. It's 4 months. Like you said, you're just dipping your toes, see if you like it or not. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Had so much fun. And then my program was unique because it was an all-women's cohort. And then there's job support afterwards. So everyone who took the program, we all started the same job with the same employer at the same time.
Oh,
so it was
really?
We went from our train, we trained together, and then we all went to work together.
Yeah.
For a company called She Builds. So it was an all-women construction crew.
I've heard about She Builds.
Yeah, out of Moncton.
I've only heard of them. I actually don't know too much about sheep belts, but
oh, they're so great. Or Dieppe, I should say, Moncton Dieppe, whatever. Yeah, the owner, Donna Ferguson. Shout out to Donna. Is so wonderful. She's so great. She took all of us on, a bunch of greeners. Like, can you imagine, like, seven women apprentices?
There were seven of
like,
you? Yeah. Oh, my God. That's awesome, though.
It was really cool. It was a lot of fun. And she had two, like, Red Seals journey people to be our, you know, to run the crew and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I got to say props to her because, like, she took on, like, we flipped a house.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we did all kinds of renovation projects. And then we also did a lot of new builds. Mm-hmm. So working with Donna and She Builds and those, like, we got a lot of a really cool, like, it was a great experience because we got to do everything from, like, foundation mm-hmm. to roofing to Ooh. Finish work to framing to putting windows in. Like, we did everything. It wasn't just like pouring concrete, or it wasn't just roofing or whatever. Like, we did a lot, putting floors in, gave us a whole appreciation.
A whole, like, well-rounded experience.
Yeah, it was really cool. So
I should connect with Donna.
You should.
I should.
She's cool. She's so great. And she's actually quite involved with a lot of, like, First Nations communities. Mm-hmm. So, like, working with Donna after about, I don't know, maybe 6 months or a year into my apprenticeship with her, like, we started building houses, brand new builds, up in Elsie-Booktook. So we were, as a crew, we were traveling. Like, most of us lived in the Moncton Dieppe area.
Yeah.
So we were traveling every day up to Elsie and building houses there. And it was such a great experience. It was, so she's, she's involved, in that community, and she's great. She's great. Very brave to take on all of us.
That's so awesome. Like, I just like hearing that, you know, you're like the best case scenario of these programs. Like, it's nice hearing that you took the STEP program. You have firsthand experience of, like, being involved in there. And we didn't talk about this earlier, but do you want to talk a little bit about, like, where you are with apprenticeship right now? Like, what is that like for you?
Yeah, for sure. So where I am right now with it, okay, so I took the STEP program, and then I worked for about a year and a half with She Builds as an apprentice carpenter.
Yeah.
And I was collecting out, like, you know, accumulating hours for my first block towards my Red Seal and stuff like that. But I always knew, so when I took the STEP program, I was so taken with the girls at MAPS. I was like, I was like, they're so cool. Like, I had such a great experience with Katie as my coordinator.
Yeah.
And I was just so impressed with all the support that there is with New Boots, with STEP, and, like, Helen leading that. You know what I mean? I was like, what a cool group of girls. Like, I want to do that. Like, I want to do. So I would always, like, whenever a job came up, like, even though I was working as an apprentice, like, on site, I would always kind of, like, slip my resume in with them.
Because
I was like, just in case something pops up, like, here you are.
Remember me.
Exactly. Yeah. And so about a year and a half into my apprenticeship, something did come up.
Okay.
And Helen got a hold of me, which was so awesome. And so I've been with them now for the last just over a year.
Has it only been a little over a year?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's been like September, October, November, December, a year and 3 months.
Oh my goodness.
That's how long I've been with MAPS.
You're doing awesome.
So it's been a lot of fun. Yeah, it's been great. And so my apprenticeship is kind of like on hold. Now I did do my block one earlier this year because I had enough hours, so I was able to get in there and do my block one. And so at this point, where the role that carpentry plays in my life is a little bit, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, like, because I don't know what questions you might have coming up, but the role that carpentry plays in my life is, like, I have a tiny side hustle.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with side hustles. I do have a question about that later.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So just because with working full time, and you have a full appreciation, like, this role that we're in, we're on the road a lot.
Oh my goodness.
It's really, like, schedule wise, like, it's hard to commit part time to, like, a carpentry job. Yeah.
And that's so cool too, because, like, I know you don't have your Red Seal. You're not, like, a full journey person quite yet. You're just an apprentice, which is great. Mm-hmm. You're on your way. But, like, I just had, not to date this episode, but we just had some info sessions for our HVAC training that's coming up. And we had the instructor actually come in and meet the participants. We had him coming into all the communities to kind of, like, talk a little bit about who he is, what he does, what is HVAC.
Nice.
And one of his things that he kept talking about was, like, as soon as you get that certification, as soon as you get that Red Seal, like, you know, you could put that away, you could do something with it, you know, you can go do something else, you can go take another apprenticeship, and it's always there. You can always come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, You don't have that certification yet, but I can already see that you're like, yeah, I can just do whatever I want with carpentry. You know, it's always there. I can always come back to it. And so it's just nice to know that you get a little side hustle on top of doing your position. Like, have you encountered any specific challenges or obstacles as a woman in trades, especially like during your apprenticeship? Like, mm-hmm. is that... I'm guessing not, because you've taken a lot of your training with other women. I love that for you, by the way. I wish I did a program like that.
I would
like to have a program just all women.
It was fantastic.
How's that been for you?
And you know what? You hit the nail on the head. Like, I've been asked this question before, mm-hmm. like, a few times, and every time, I gotta say, like, my experience was unique
yeah.
because I went through the program with all women. Yeah. I worked on a job site with all women. So I'm very fortunate to have had like the best apprenticeship experience. Like, I'm so lucky because like I was literally working with my friends all day. Like, we'd
yeah.
be laughing and learning and figuring things out, which is 99% of the job, by the way. When
that.
You're a carpenter, it's like we could be on a new build and have like a brand new set of plans, and it's like, you know, there's always something that needs to be rejigged or like moved here a couple inches here, whatever, you know what I mean? Or
yeah.
like, so anyway, you're doing a lot of MacGyvering. So, but yeah, no, but I gotta say I didn't experience any obstacles. Like, I just had an absolute blast with the women that I worked with.
Mm-hmm.
But I can imagine like there would be some, like if you were the only female on an all male crew, like there would be that adjustment period. But honestly, like even when like we were like if material was being delivered or if we were on a job site and there were other trades there that were usually men and stuff like that, even they were all very like kind and like, oh, happy to see some women out on a job site. Like, they're all very encouraging and supportive and stuff. So like, so it was a great experience, I gotta say. I know it was unique and I know I'm very lucky to have had that. So,
well, I mean, even in having just that little bit of, I guess we call it like a privilege or something, just that
mm-hmm.
having that experience, you know, you might be the first one to kind of have these experiences, but like maybe, you know, I've been to a lot of trades conferences over this year. We did a Supporting Women in Trades conference earlier this year, and a lot of the things was talking about like diversity, equity, and equality,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, what's coming of this trend, I guess, is we're starting to acknowledge that there are obstacles for women.
Mm-hmm.
And we're developing these all-women cohorts, all these all-women classes. So, like, you know, maybe in the future, hopefully in the future, that your experience isn't so unique.
Mm-hmm.
Because it sounds like you're having a great time. It sounds wonderful. I'm glad you're having a great time.
Oh, yeah.
And I wish that for more women, because I've heard plenty of stories where, you know, some women feel unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the only woman on the job site. They're the only woman in the camp or wherever they're working. And, you know, bathrooms are an issue. And I'm just really happy you're not dealing with that. It's
yeah.
awesome. And I'm glad the people around you are also being supportive. It's nice seeing the change.
Yeah. No, it was a great intro to trade. And I got to say, so now, like, I mean, it's been a couple years since we all took the program. So now everybody works for different employers,
yeah.
basically. But I think all of us going through that and starting out together and kind of getting a lay of the land, like, of construction and what it's like being on a job site and stuff like that, I think that would have contributed to moving on to a different job site where there wouldn't be as many females. I think it kind of gives you that confidence to, like, I can hold my own. Like,
yeah.
I can do this. I got this. So it's been a great, yeah, I think, like, it's been really beneficial. Like, if there's more opportunities for, like, all female cohorts,
yeah.
Then yeah, I think there's a lot of benefits that can go along with that. So
sounds like you're having a great time, and I'd love to bring that to our clients as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So did you have any mentors, role models during your apprenticeship, and how did they impact your journey? I know you were talking about Donna.
Yes,
yeah.
Donna's so great. I'm forever grateful for her because she was just so patient with us,
mm-hmm.
and so supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, she gave us such a diverse work experience. Like I said, everything from rough carpentry to finished carpentry to roofing, pouring, framing. And not a lot of apprentices get to experience that. And
mm-hmm.
I want to say that I was very inspired by the women that I worked with.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give a special shout out to this adorable, tiny little Colombian woman. Her
oh, yeah.
name is Sandra Catalina Turiago.
Mm-hmm.
She's so cute. She's like in her 40s.
Mm-hmm.
She decided to just take carpentry, like stop her job, like, her full-time job, like she has like a degree in like engineering from like
her
past life in Colombia. She has three young boys. And I went to her house one day and she's like, oh yeah, I built that table. I built that coffee. I built that desk. Like she has an actual like passion and interest for carpentry. And so she decided to like totally pivot and take this program.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a change in salary. It's a change in working hours because she was working remote from home. So that was, you know, obviously it was a whole change in her lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
And now she's like, she's en route to do her, like we all did our first block together. Oh yeah, I should add, we all went through the step training together.
Yeah.
We all worked together.
Yeah.
And then four of us did our first block together earlier this year,
that.
4 of 7.
Yeah.
So it was really cool. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. But yeah, now she's on the path to do her second block.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's gonna get her red seal and stuff. And
yeah.
So I just find that so inspiring. Like, oh my gosh,
mm-hmm.
like if Sandra can do it. And then another girl in my class, her name is Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Like she made it her goal to earn her red seal by the time she's 50.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, in her 40s, like is when she started her journey. And I just think that's like how cool is that?
Yeah.
Like, why not? Like make a total 180 in your life and like start from scratch.
Yeah.
And when I say start from scratch, oh, and like another girl in our class, like she literally was like to hit a nail was like just to, you know, like hold the hammer. She was like shaking and sweating and like just like, so she had to work through a lot with, you know what I mean? And now she's still like, she did her block one earlier this year too. And she's still in carpentry here 2 years later. So I just got to say, like, I'm super, like, I didn't have a mentor as per se, but,
mm-hmm.
but just being surrounded by the women, like by these women, these strong women, I'm like, I was totally blown away and inspired by it. And oftentimes that's what kept me going.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh. Lisa and Sandra, both mothers of three, both in their like late four, if they're down on their hands and knees putting this flooring in, like I have nothing to complain about. Like, you know what I mean? If they can do it, I can do it. And I'm just like, wow, that's super cool. So
that makes me want to go be a carpenter with your class. Like I'm inspired now. I'm like, man, if they can do it, I can do
totally.
It.
Oh, 100%.
Oh man, maybe I should take carpentry. Don't tell Gwen though. Gwen's my manager, by the way. I know she'll be listening.
Gwen, don't listen. Gwen, earmuffs.
I'm kidding. Okay, so that's so nice. Oh my God, that's so inspiring.
It is.
All right. So what's been like your most valuable lesson that you've learned during this apprenticeship process? I'm hearing so much about just powerful women. I want to hear more about it.
It's cool. The most valuable lesson, I would say the most valuable lesson that I've learned. I've learned a lot about like perseverance. Like even if it's like kind of scary, it's like do it anyway. Like and then you know what I mean? Like that's the only way to get comfortable with it. Because, like, honestly, going into it, like I said, I took a couple shop classes in high school, but I didn't really have that much experience with, like, power tools or anything.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, the program did a great job of, like, starting us off on hand tools, and then we, you know, power tools, and then bigger saws and stuff like that. But just to kind of, like, for lack of a better term or lack of a better quote, you know, that kind of like fake it till you make it. Like there were some saws and stuff that like I was like really intimidated to use or some things that I was like intimidated to do. Like I can't, like I remember on one job site, like my journeyman at the time, he's like, okay, I need you to frame up an electrical panel room, like closet type of thing. And like left me on my own to do it. And I was like, like, cause usually up to that point I was always like with, like, he would lay it out for me or whatever, or do this, or do that. But I was so fortunate to be in with She Builds, and I had a lot of, they gave me a lot of time to learn how to do that on my own, like, mm-hmm. a lot of time and space. And so, like, when I accomplished it, like, framing up a room, like, it doesn't sound like a big deal. It doesn't sound like a big deal,
I
but,
mean,
like,
it sounds like a big deal,
for me, it was a big deal, yeah, because there's a lot of things to factor in and calculate and this and what goes where and then hanging a door and this and that. And so, like, so it's a little scary at first and nerve-wracking, and then you do it and you're like, and then you feel like a million bucks. It's like, damn. Also, I gotta say, the instant gratification that comes with carpentry, that's like a lot of like what got, that's another thing that was like, if you're one of those people, you like to see results, it's so much fun doing carpentry for that reason, because you're like, you know, you can start with a foundation, and then by the end of the day, you've framed up a whole main floor, and yeah. you see that progress. It's really cool. But anyway, going back to my point about perseverance, yeah, like, just kind of, like, seeing something through, even if it's a little scary or whatever and hard, and then, like, you get through it, and then you just have that confidence because you're like, I just did that. Like, I just built that or whatever, and you're like, okay, if I can do that, what else can I do?
Yeah.
It's kind of this, like, broaden and build. Like, you know what I mean? It's really cool, so...
Yeah, I had a kids camp a couple of weeks ago, and we had Bird Construction come in.
Nice.
And so these kids are like age 10 to 16. I think our oldest was actually like 15. But we had asked Bird to come in, like, hey, bring in a project that they could do for a couple hours, you know, like just so they can kind of get that hands-on experience. And they had some extra materials. So they brought in materials for a bench.
Mm-hmm.
Solid bench, by the way. It's like a real nice bench. Like I'm actually going to stain it and gift it to probably my dad. I don't know.
Nice.
But it's this, and all the kids got to make one, and like me and Laura got to make one, and I see what you mean about that instant gratification, like, wow, I was like, I got a bench, and like, it doesn't wobble, it's solid. I was like, I built that. It felt so good.
Doesn't it feel great?
It feels amazing.
And like another lesson you learn is to take pride in your work, because
yeah.
you, like when you actually build and assemble something, yeah. right, like, you're like, oh, I see now. I see the, like, it gives you a whole new appreciation. Like,
mm-hmm.
I found once I took the program and started working as an apprentice, like, I couldn't not notice everything around me and appreciating the work that goes into it.
Yeah.
And so, like, taking pride in your work and taking, like, quality over quantity, right? Like, doing a good job,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, the measure twice, cut once,
yeah.
for sure. Like,
oh my goodness,
even
yeah.
knowing that, like, I still made that mistake many times. But, like,
I've done that.
yeah, but isn't it cool? It's so cool when you actually produced something, like you've actually built something with your own two hands.
It was
yeah,
so funny. It was so funny with the kids too, because like, you know, Bird Construction come in and, you know, they built the benches and they actually finished sooner than we expected.
Okay.
So, you know, Laura and I go into the trades trailer, we pull out our sanders and we get the kids kind of like sand them down and like make them real pretty. And then I went to town, I bought some paint. And they painted all afternoon. They painted for 3 hours.
Oh,
and
nice.
Laura was trying to get the kids. She's like, wait, hey, we got some games to play. Do you guys want to take a break? And they're like, no.
They're happy.
They're painting their benches. One kid, I had to be like, please, kid, stop painting your bench. It's time to go home. He's like, no, one second. Like, you know, and just like you said, like having that pride in your work, he built that bench. And then
mm-hmm.
he painted it. He loved it. They all love their benches. And, you know, like you said, just that instant gratification, that pride in your work. And I mean, I think that's just something that really keeps a lot of people in the trades. It's just, it's awesome. That's awesome.
That, and you know what? I'm not surprised that these kids could paint for 3 hours because, like, no, so carpentry is actually an amazing creative outlet.
Yeah.
It's so... Like, the things that you can build are endless. And even when you're doing, like, even if you're building a deck,
yeah.
the angle, like the way that you frame the deck or the way you put the railing, like the creativity that you can have with that, it's endless. So carpentry is a great creative outlet, like decks, like framing, like with different moldings, like, you know, moldings or baseboard stuff, like there's so many ways to get creative, or framing in a room, like if you, it's like a blank canvas, you
yeah.
know what I mean? And especially when you start doing your own projects at your own house. So anyway, all that's to say, I'm not surprised at all that they because any type of creative outlet, right? It's like, so it's so fun to get into your flow and like find, you know, have an opportunity to do these things. So anyway, that's cool. That's a great little story, Gabe.
Oh,
happy to hear that.
It was so much fun.
Sounds like it was a great activity for these
yeah.
kids.
We did a couple of things with that camp.
Uh-huh.
So Jess, I know you participated in our powwow pitch at the Nottawatinek powwow earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
So like, what do you think about entrepreneurship and trades and like combining those things? Do you think that's like a really good pair? Like,
oh, like, yes.
Yeah.
Very much yes.
Yeah.
Like, can't stress that enough. Like, I feel like, okay, like, first of all, with any trades, like, as soon as you mention, like, any, like, oftentimes I even didn't want to say I'm an apprentice carpenter because people are like, oh, can you fix this? Like, there's jobs galore, right? Like, there's so much work. There's so much work within trades, right?
Yeah.
So as soon as word is out that you have, like, a skill in a certain area, you know what I mean, trade, whether it's plumbing or welding or or whatever it is, electrical. Like, there's so many side jobs. Like, there's so many jobs that people need done by, like, somebody. And if it's somebody they know, and you know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's always... So to answer your question, yes, there is very much opportunity. There's so much opportunity for, like, somebody who wants to start their own business in a trade. And so, and furthermore, like, I mean, there's so much support from you guys, first of all, here at JEDI. Like, there's so much support, right, for entrepreneurs starting their own business, startups. There's the incubator program coming up. There's the funding, Julie's, what is it, JADA?
The JADAF. That's
JADAF.
The,
JADAF.
What's that acronym stand for?
Something, something funding.
It's the something, something development fund.
Development fund, it's, right? There's that. There's a tool that Laura showed me online. It was like a business tool, bursary, look or something like this. Mm-hmm. Like, so there's tons of funding available to if you want to start your own business. Okay, so that's covered. Boom, check that off. Yeah. And then in terms of work available, like there's just, like I said before, like there's so much work out there, whether it's like residential, commercial, contracting yourself out, things like this. And like think about, like it's kind of a no-brainer, like think about like how much St. Mary's is expanding. Well, okay, so think about new builds that happen right here.
Yeah.
And then think about repairs that need to be done. Is a carpenter ever, ever, ever going to be out of a job?
No.
Hell no. Right? Like 0.0% chance of that. Yeah. Like same thing with plumbing. Like think of all the new builds, because all the new builds that go in, they need a plumber, they need an electrician, they need an HVAC, they need, you know what I mean? All these different trades. So between new builds and repairs on communities, whether it's this community, whether it's Indian Island, Elizabeth, like doesn't matter where, on reserve, off reserve, doesn't matter. There's no shortage of work that needs to be done. So, yes, if you're looking into starting your own company, like now is the time, yeah, for sure, 100%. There's support to get up and started, and there's work to be done. So, like, if anyone's out there thinking about it, it's like, do it,
start your own trades business.
Start your own trades. Yes, and reach out to Gabe and or myself, yeah, you know, and we'll help you out for sure. Absolutely.
Awesome. That is a great answer. Mm-hmm. What would you say to somebody who's just like, should I not?
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to say, here in New Brunswick, like, reach out to us. Reach out to the MAPS organization. Reach out to JEDI. There's literally no risk. In the programs that we offer, there's no, right?
With JEDI. There's no risk.
There's no risk.
We pay our clients. By the way, I thought I should tell you this. If for some reason any of your participants who are Indigenous can't get the TSD,
yeah,
we will still subsidize some wages. We'll pay some of your clients.
Amazing.
Yeah, just so you know.
Oh.
I'm talking to somebody in step now to do that. We're
Amazing.
Doing that for somebody right now.
Okay.
They didn't qualify for a TSD, couldn't get any funding, and was still taking the training. And we're like, hey, yeah, like here's some money, just so like a living allowance, and we do cover some travel and childcare if they need it. So.
Well, there you go. You heard it here first, guys.
Yeah.
Heard it here first. JEDI's got your back. Yes, so do we. Like, in New Brunswick, like between JEDI, between MAPS, between like apprenticeship, like there is no... Like, there's no risk. Like, there is so much support and so much incentive. And, like me, like, do it. And, you know, it's a four-month program usually. Like STEP was a four-month program. Mm-hmm. I got to work as an apprentice for a year. Like, you can test the waters and see if you like it. Like some of us went through, like, and some of us are still in it. You know what I mean? Some went in a different direction. And, like, that's okay. Like, mm-hmm. that's no problem. It's an exploration.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely, like... I don't know. I don't even know what to say. Like, I mean, you have to want it too, though. Like, you have to want to be in the trade because it's hard. Like, I will not sugarcoat it. Like, being in trades is hard work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's very physical. There are long days. Sometimes you don't know how long you're going to be on site, depending on what's getting delivered when, stuff like that. So, like, but give it a fair shot. And there's lots of support available.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like if there's ever any hesitation or anything, like that's why we're here, right?
Yeah, so. That's what the programs are for. Like,
yeah.
Find out if you like doing that hands-on experience. You know, would you be okay working long days? Like,
yeah,
this is what you can expect. These are the people you can meet. You know, our programs not only is it training, but it is a little bit of networking. You do get the opportunities to kind of meet other tradespeople. You know, you get to build that bond with your classmates. You guys offer. job placements afterwards. So mm-hmm. do we. We also do job placements after our programs. So even if you, you know, if you finish the program, you can go actually do real on-the-job training mm-hmm. With an employer, and maybe the employer keeps you at the end if, you know, you guys are a good match.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Always worth trying.
Yes.
Try it out. If you're on the fence, if you're not sure, give me a call, give Jess a call.
Yeah.
We'll help you figure out if it's for you.
Yeah. So, like I said, I coordinate a program called First in Trades. And basically, if you just Google First in Trades NB, you can find us there, or you can find us on Facebook. Like I said, I work under the MAPS organization. So that's Mentor Apprentice Program Strategic Workforce Services.
Yeah.
MAPSWS.
We'll also put Jess's information in the description of this podcast episode.
Yeah.
So again, thank you, Jess, for being a guest here. We had a really great chat. Like, I really appreciate that you came in today. And of course, anyone who's listening, thank you for tuning in. Of course, you know, give us a little like, maybe a comment, subscribe, you know, the usual stuff. And thank you so much, and have a great day.